the headlines, the death toll from Israeli airstrikes and artillery attacks on the besieged Gaza Strip rises to 122, with over 50 children and women among the victims. Israeli forces kill 7 Palestinians in the West Bank and attack protesters in the occupied territory, leaving over 100 of them injured. And Palestinians release a video showing an Israeli chemical factory being hit with a new drone in response to the Israeli aggression. Hello and welcome, everybody. Israel keeps pounding the Gaza Strip with airstrikes and artillery shells, causing more deaths and destruction in the besieged Palestinian territory. In the latest attacks, Israeli warplanes bombed residential areas in various parts of Gaza City, as well as the city of Khan Yunis. Israeli ground forces and artillery units deployed near Gaza also carried out their attacks. The regime began its deadly aggression on Monday. According to the Palestinian Health Ministry, in Gaza, at least 122 people, including 31 children and 19 women, have been killed so far. It says over 620 others have also been wounded. The victims include 6 members of a single family who were killed in an attack in the city of Rafah. The aggression has forced hundreds of people to flee their homes near the so-called buffer zone. Israeli forces have killed at least 7 Palestinians in the West Bank. They also injured over 150 others during protests across the occupied territory. The Red Crescent said Israeli forces targeted the Palestinians with rubber bullets, tear gas, and in some cases, live fire. Protests against Israeli occupation and aggression were held in Al-Khalil, near Ramallah, and near Nablus. A Palestinian security source said the fighting was the most intense since the Second Intifada, or uprising, that began in 2000. The latest killings bring to 10 the number of Palestinians killed by Israeli forces in the West Bank since Monday. That is when clashes erupted between Gaza and Israel following weeks of Israeli restrictions and crackdown in occupied East Jerusalem, Al-Quds. As Israel keeps pounding the Gaza Strip with airstrikes and artillery shells, more death and destruction has become of the Palestinian people in the besieged territory of Gaza. On this edition, the Palestinian resistance movement Hamas has released footage of its drone attack on an Israeli chemical factory. The new indigenously produced drone, dubbed Shahab, was used in the attack on the plant in the city of Nahal Oz. The group also used the same type of drone to target Israeli troops near the Gaza Strip. Hamas has stepped up its attacks on Israel in response to the regime's aggression on the besieged territory. Israel's Ramon Airport, as well as its cities of Ashkelon and Ashdod, have also recently come under missile attacks. The Israeli military says over 1,700 rockets have been fired from Gaza since Monday. According to Israeli medics, 7 people have been killed in the attacks. Hamas says its strategy toward Israel has now changed from defensive to offensive. Joining us on this edition of the News Review, we have legal consultant and human rights lawyer Belay Jabara joining us from the British capital, London. Mr. Jabara, welcome to the program. Let's start off with the footage that the Palestinian resistance movement Hamas has released. They are saying that the Israeli chemical factory was attacked by an indigenously produced drone. How significant is this?
Who's saying that? The Israeli saying that the Israeli chemical factory has been attacked. But what about the kids and the children and the residents that have been attacked for the last 3-4 nights? And we have about 108 Palestinian murdered and 28 children among them. And in which way, like, it's significant that we are, like, you know, resisting now. We defending ourselves as Palestinians from Gaza, from the West Bank, from 19 inside the historical Palestine 1948, and in Jerusalem. It's all for Jerusalem and for Sheikh Jarrah. I mean, what significance of the Israelis attacking Palestinians in Gaza and in Ramallah now and in Nablus and in Jenin, killing about 8-9 Palestinians from the morning until now?
Mr. Javara, allow me to elaborate on that issue. The disproportionate level of attacks is evident and it's obvious with regards to the Israeli attacks on Palestinians in Gaza. But what's significant here is how the all of a sudden Israelis, they feel threatened for their security when the Palestinian resistance movement, who's effectively been cut off from the entire world, has now reached a point where it has new indigenously produced drones where it can carry out these retaliatory attacks against the Israelis. That's what's significant.
And it is significant. And it is really, it's a very success for the resistance, despite all the sanction on them from 19, for the last, even like 13, 15 years, Hamas being under like siege, and the Gaza under the siege, and nobody's helping the Palestinians in Gaza. And within the West Bank also we have restriction by checkpoints, by everything. The significance of that we can resist and we can do whatever has to be done for the best of the Palestinian people to defend their rights of self-determination and build their state and have Jerusalem as the capital city of Palestine. The significance of that we're not letting anybody to harm us and attack Palestinians. I mean, let's say, like, you know, I'm an external person, like, you know, I'm not Palestinian. If I'm not Palestinian, nobody will accept that killing of children and people under siege. They don't have clean water. They don't have electricity as 24 hours electricity each day. They don't have food. They don't have supply. The border is from Egypt. The border from historical Palestine in air checkpoints everywhere. They're not letting even, like, you know, the basic material and basic food to get into the Palestinian. The significance that the Palestinian, with their minimum of like materials and things that they have in Gaza and Palestine, they could react to this Israeli aggression.
Filmmaker and political activist Kenneth Farrow is also joining us now from the British capital, London, on this edition of the News Review. Mr. Farrow, welcome to the program. In response to the Israeli aggression on the Gaza Strip, Palestinian resistance movement Hamas has stepped up attacks on Israel. Do you think that these intensified Palestinian rocket attacks against Israeli targets have exposed weaknesses of the regime's anti-missile system?
Well, I think the weaknesses here are the position of the international community in terms of their inability to support the right of self-determination of the Palestinian people. Palestinians, like every other nation, under international conventions, have a right for self-defense. And that's what's happening in Gaza, and that's what's happening in Palestine. The right to self-defense is something which should be guaranteed and supported. So I think taking a step back from the situation on the ground as we see it today, clearly this is not the first time this has happened. Many young people who have not been around to see the previous situations, the previous aggressions, who have not been aware of what's been going on in Palestine for the past 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years and beyond, they're being very shocked with what they're seeing. They're asking questions, and I think what has to happen now is that the movement, the international movement that is growing, particularly in the West, dealing with issues of human rights abuses, dealing with Black Lives Matter and all these other issues, they're beginning to make solidarity connections between the struggle of the Palestinian people, between other peoples as well. And that's where this has to move. There has to be an awareness that this is just not an event that will be over in a few days or a few weeks or even a few months if it escalates to that level. It's something which has been going on for many, many decades and needs resolving. The rights of the Palestinian people have to be central to any solution that's proposed.
I'm going to stay with you, Ken. For years, with the help of Western-administered media, the Israelis, they were always trying to control the narrative, to portray Palestinians as being the terrorists and having the Israeli security being at risk. Do you think that arguably that narrative, at least in the court of public opinion, that doesn't exist anymore? We do see a clear sense of global awareness towards the Palestinian cause. For example, we just recently had the Al-Quds Day rallies, which were also centered in Iran. That these events, they bring a lot of attention to the Palestinian cause, don't you think?
Yes, and it's not just that, of course, because before you had this this creation of the, you know, the David and Goliath situation. You had the Palestinians being painted as terrorists. You had all the kind of tropes, the racism, and the history of the aggression against Palestinians and Arabs in the Middle East in general. This was been going on for decades and decades. Now what's happened is that the world is changing. There are many Palestinians in the diaspora who are now in a position where they can speak out. There are many there are actresses, there are actors who are all speaking out for the first time in a long time about what's going on. And I think this increasing awareness of the injustice on the Palestinian people and the injustice of Palestine is escalating now. And so that's one of the positive things that's come out of this situation, that global awareness is increasing. But all, of course, we need global action, not just awareness.
Mr. Jawar, I'm going to address the same question to you. What do you think about what Mr. Farrow just mentioned? Global awareness is there. It's rising by the second, but we do need global action, insufficient international responses from the United Nations, from the likes of the European Union, the OIC, the Arab League, most notably the Arab governments. That has all contributed to the status quo, don't you think?
Well, I mean, I do agree with this, like, you know, there should be an international movement and political movement that give the right for the Palestinians upon this, you know, resistance that occurs in Palestine. And the totally agree with Ken about, like, you know, the Israeli regime is an apartheid regime and racism regime that is racist against, like, its own citizen, what, let's say, Palestinians in 1948, 2 million Palestinians living there under discrimination. And they have, like, felt that the need to go out and say that we are Palestinian and we are in solidarity with our own brothers in Jerusalem and in Gaza. Israel is an apartheid state and racism state, and as much as the Black Lives Matter in America and everywhere, and no discrimination between human beings everywhere in the world, the same for the Palestinians. They have the right to self-defense, to build their state and have, like, you know, freedom of movement and to go to their worship places as Jerusalem and, like, the churches as well in Bethlehem and in Jerusalem. The globalization of, awareness that occurred the last few days and even with the Al-Quds Day was occurring also much, much better this year because of what's happening in Jerusalem. I mean, I've been activist for the last, like, 20 since I was a student. And then it's been, like, issues about Palestine all the years, and we have, like, you know, been demonstrating and protesting about what's happening of the injustice in Palestine. But this now, as, like, you know, it seems like to be as a third intifada in Palestine that we have used to make it as awareness for everybody. And the best thing about this, that 15, 20 years old kids, that they haven't also faced the first intifada in 1987 or the second intifada of Al-Aqsa of 2000, they are out there in Gaza and out there in the checkpoints in Ramallah, in Beit Eid, in Hawa, in Beta, in Nablus, fighting and telling the Zionists that enough is enough. And we have to gather together with the Arab world and the Arab League and the United Nations for the best interest for the Palestinian people to have their right and their independent state in the in Palestine. Okay, we're not denying that. We're not gonna go into political, like, you know, negotiation now about who is taking who and all that. But the Palestinians won their state in 1967 lands and the east of Jerusalem, capital city of Palestine, with no negotiation about from that. And all the Palestinians have to have freedom of movement and to have to be together. Okay. Now, what about the normalization of the Arab countries that Israel has been doing now? And this is also significant now. The Arab nations all are in the Middle East now, they are aware, and the youth, they are aware that Israel is not a state of peace. Israel is a state, enemy state for the whole Arab world. Israel is a racist and terrorist itself, that it kills Palestinians from, like, distance of 10 meters in Lod. the chap called Hassuna killed by 10 meters away from the police officers. And that's an apartheid. And that should be, you know, advertised everywhere now with the social media to be used for the best of this aim.
All right, thanks a lot. We're going to leave it there. Mr. Bala Jabara, legal consultant and human rights lawyer, joining us from London, also speaking to us from the British capital, filmmaker and political activist Kenneth Thurow. Gentlemen, thank you for sharing your thoughts with us here on this edition of News Review. We're now going to return to the world news. Stay with us. Elsewhere, thousands of Jordanians have held rallies in solidarity with Palestinians amid Israel's deadly attacks on the besieged Gaza Strip and the occupied West Bank. The march took place in Karama town in the Jordan Valley, with protesters chanting anti-Israel slogans and calling on their government to open the border. Police fired tear gas at the protesters trying to cross the border. Several thousand demonstrators also took to the streets of the capital Amman after the Friday prayers. They called for the expulsion of the Israeli ambassador and scrapping of an unpopular peace treaty with the regime. A protest was also held near Lebanon's border with the Israeli city of Metula. The Lebanese protesters broke through the border fence before being forced back by Israeli regime's military tanks. According to media, at least one protester was injured there. And that's a wrap for now. Bye, everybody.
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints.
It guides us through life. It has taught us everything. We should learn and appreciate what it gives us.
واقعیت زندگی
and try to apply them to our daily lives.
چجوری ممکنه؟
How is it possible?
از راه قرآن.
By means of Quran.
این خوندن قرآن و تلاوت قرآن قدم اول است برادران من، این قدم آخر نیست.
Reading and recitation of the Quran is the first step, brothers, not the last one.
هو الذي ارسل رسوله بالهدى ودين.
It is he who has sent his apostle with the guidance and the religion of truth, that he may make it prevail over all religions, though the polytheists should be averse.
تلاوت قرآن با صوت خوش، با آداب که شیوه خاصی دارد، موسیقی خاصی دارد، روش خاصی دارد، اینها چیزایی لازم نیست.
Recitation of the Quran in nice tones should be performed according to particular methods and tones.
اما این کافی نیست.
But it's not enough.
مشکل بزرگ مسلمانان دنیا دوری از قرآن.
Muslims major problem is losing touch with the Quran.
Path towards enlightenment.
In the name of God, the All-Compassionate, the All-Merciful, Salam and welcome to another episode of our weekly series titled Path Towards Enlightenment, which is an endeavor to make you and us familiar with an easy and fluent explanation of God's final scripture to all mankind, the Noble Quran, which was revealed to the last and greatest of all messengers, Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. We continue from where we left you last week, and here is Ayah 25 of Surah Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny.
إن الذين ارتدوا على أدبارهم من بعد ما تبين لهم الهدى الشيطان سول لهم وأملى لهم.
Indeed, those who turned their backs after the guidance had become clear to them, it was Satan who has seduced them, and he had given them far-flung hopes. If you might recall, in our last episode of this program, we explained the preceding ayahs of this surah and said the Noble Quran is not merely for ritual recitation, but should be properly read, reflected upon, and put into practice. It means all Muslims are duty-bound to contemplate on the timeless wisdom of the Noble Quran, and the failure to contemplate leads to locking of the hearts towards the truth. The result will be blindness of the lofty concepts. In other words, the unfortunate state of such people lies either in their carelessness toward this supreme symbol of divine guidance or in their lack of perception owing to the insensitivity of their hearts, which are occupied by vain desires and the vicious acts they had committed. Thus, the one who loses way in darkness because of satanic temptations is either blind or does not carry a light, which means hypocrites are sick at heart and fail to benefit from the Noble Quran. The ayah that we recited to you now refers to those for whom the truth of Islam had become manifest, and they had believed in it, but in pursuit of vain desires, they fell victim to the temptations of the Satan, resulting in loss of faith, apostasy, and misfortune. In other words, such people are deceived by worldly possessions and pleasures of the flesh, which Satan beautifies for them and insinuates false hopes in order to immerse them in sins and make them drift away further and further from the truth and faith. Thus, we ought to have firm and unflinching belief in divine values through discernment and spiritual perception in order to not to go astray or turn into hypocrites. From this ayah we learn that, number one, hypocrites and apostates often consider themselves as sharp-witted and pragmatic, but the Noble Quran dismisses them as deceived and misled who have turned their back from the manifest truth. Number two, satanic temptations weaken faith and create baseless doubts towards the manifest truth. Number three, pursuit of pleasures leads to sins and provides Satan with an opportunity to beautify vicious acts through insinuation of vain hopes and tall desires. Number 4. Satan cannot seduce those who are firm of faith, adhere to spiritual perception, and have a rational approach towards the truth of Islam. Now we listen to ayah 26 of the same surah.
ذلك بأنهم قالوا للذين كرهوا ما نزل الله سنطيعكم في بعض الأمر والله يعلم إسرارهم.
That is because they said to those who loathed what Allah had sent down, "We will obey you in some matters," and fail to realize Allah knows their secret dealings. Here the reference is to the Arab hypocrites who claimed to believe in the message of Islam and infiltrated the assembly of the Prophet to pose as his companions, but would secretly go to the Israelite tribes of Banu Nadir and Banu Qurayza on the outskirts of Medina to plot against Muslims on the basis of their shared hatred of divine revelation. God Almighty, who is fully aware of everything, divulged their secret dealings. In other words, the two groups agreed to collaborate with each other in certain matters, since the Arab hypocrites were polytheists, while the Jews were monotheists, and their ancestors had come to Arabia to await the great prophet promised by Moses. But with the advent of Islam, they refused to believe in Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, although they fully recognized him as the promised one. An interesting hadith from the Prophet's 5th and 6th infallible heirs, Imam Muhammad Baqir and Imam Ja'far Sadiq, peace upon them, says that the phrase in this ayah, "those who loathe what Allah had sent down," also refers to the Umayyads, who were displeased with the revelation of the divine decree concerning the imamat of Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace upon him. It is an undeniable fact of history that the Umayyads, who later usurped the caliphate or political rule of the Islamic State, paid only lip service to Islam and were notorious for their collaboration with the enemies of Muslims, especially the Israelites. This ayah teaches us the following points. Number 1. True believers ought to be alert about those who are hypocrites at heart and complicit with the enemies for betraying the interests of the Islamic society in pursuit of their nefarious goals. Number 2. Hypocrites are in league with the enemies in a superstitious manner, and this warrants vigilance and use of appropriate methods by the intelligence services to discover and expose their secret links. And number 3. We should know that God Almighty is all aware of each and everything, including the thoughts that flash across minds. Now let us listen to ayahs 27 and 28 of Surah Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny.
فَكَيْفَ إِذَا تَوَفَّتْهُمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ يَضْرِبُونَ وُجُوهَهُمْ وَأَدْبَارَهُمْ ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّهُمُ اتَّبَعُوا مَا أَسْخَطَ اللَّهَ وَكَرِهُوا رِضْوَانَهُ فَأَحْبَطَ أَعْمَالَهُمْ.
But how will it be with them when the angels take them away, striking their faces and their backs? That, because they pursued what displeased Allah and loathed His pleasure, so He has made their works fail. In continuation of the previous ayahs, the reference here is to the terrible fate of the hypocrites and the traitors. the ayah warns those who are deceived by satanic insinuations that their souls are taken by the angels of death in a painful manner, with smearing of their faces and their backs with blazing whips for their betrayal of Muslims and their crimes against humanity. As the next ayah means to say that since these evil persons had turned away from the manifest truth and loathed divine bounties in pursuit of vicious activities, that displeased God Almighty, they will suffer a terrible fate, and whatever good deeds they had done will be rendered vain. These ayahs teach us the following points. Number one, death is not the end of a person, but is only the end of a transient life in the mortal world. In other words, it means that by divine commandment, the angels take back the soul that had been given by God. Number two, hypocrites and traitors face a very painful death. Number three, though God has granted the human being the freedom to choose, the consequences of the choice determines reward or punishment, which means even in adverse circumstances, one should do what pleases God instead of following vain desires. And number four, a person's deeds become null and void if God is not pleased with them, though the people extol them.
The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا, O you who believe, استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, now I invite you to listen to the speech of Sheikh Muhammad Baig.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum everyone. Tonight, the topic is going to be Eid al-Fitr. Let's go through Eid as itself. Allah has made Eid as a blessing and a mercy for believers. Eid always comes after a trial, either whether it is in Hajj, which is Eid al-Adha, or it is after Ramadan, which is Eid al-Fitr. This Eid, Allah has made it such that it is a mercy of Allah on all the people, on the believers, and now Allah has brought them and given them something that is valuable. The first thing regarding Eid is that everyone, one of the most valuable things that they can get is another chance. One more chance of doing it again. This is something that everyone deep inside of themselves wish for. Everything they have done in their past, they see that if I could get another chance, it would be different. Based on what I know now and the wisdom that I have now, I want to do it over again. I would do it much better. Who wouldn't like another chance at life? Who wouldn't like another chance and erase the past and start over again? Start a new leaf again. Well, that can only come with the blessing and mercy of Allah. That's exactly what Eid is. It is another chance. The greatest thing that you can get in this life. Imagine if your past and your record could be erased, wiped out clean, and you can be given another chance to start all over again. With all the wisdom that you have now, Maybe you didn't have it before. And with all the intelligence you have now, which you didn't have before, if you were given that chance, Eid is exactly that. It is another chance, and it comes with Allah's blessings. Only through Allah's mercy, He's being merciful to us, very graceful to us, by giving us another chance, wiping our slate clean as if we are a newborn child. Now you are starting again, but when you were a newborn child, you were not knowing. You had no knowledge. You didn't know right from wrong, but now you know right from wrong. You have wisdom. You have experience. You know the results of bad. You know what it means to do good. So all of that put together, if you can be born again right now with the experience and wisdom that you have, would you be better? Allah is giving you that chance. This is Eid. And this is a time to celebrate that. Thank Allah for that. Here, truly, this is an Eid that we need to take advantage of. And every Eid is important, because Eid is something that comes from Allah's blessing. Truly, it is going to be there. And that's why Allah wanted everyone to enhance the Eid, make it greater, make it bigger. That's why He even has an obligatory charity called Zakatul Fitr. Zakatul Fitr is for what? It is zakat that is to enhance Eid al-Fitr, to make it greater. It's not a zakat to help poor people. It's not a sadaqah to help poor people. It's a sadaqah to help poor people celebrate Eid. That's it. That's why the amount is small. You give to those people who are unable to celebrate Eid, so that they can celebrate Eid, so that they can enjoy themselves on the day of Eid, because they should know that this is a day of gifts. This is a day where Allah is giving them immense gifts, and it also comes in tangible ways. And Allah made it wajib on everyone to give out Zakat al-Fitr, so the people who do not have money to buy their gifts, they can buy gifts on Eid. That's why the fitrah, money, has to reach the recipient on the day of Eid. It cannot reach there the day after or 2 days after. It has to reach there. So you have to give the money to the recipient, the person who's getting it, not the masjid, not the center, but the person who's getting that money to celebrate Eid. It's meant for that. They need to have that money to celebrate Eid. So wherever you are, make sure that that fitrah money gets to the person or the recipient, for whoever is getting it, for that they can celebrate the day of Eid with it. That's what Allah meant this zakat for. Because Allah wanted that Eid be made strong and Eid be made enhanced, so that everyone celebrates it. Everyone knows that this is Allah's blessings that are coming to them. And that's why He made it wajib to give that fitrah. Keep that in mind, that Eid is one of those things, truly, that we need to enhance with whatever we can get. Especially here in the West, I have seen that our kids growing up here see the celebrations of other people who are the majority. Their celebrations like Christmas and so forth are always at such a grand level, and Eid is nothing but you go to the masjid and that's about it. If you do, if it's on a weekend. If it's not on a weekend, then you don't even do that, because you just, that's it. You do that, you get a gift, and that. We need to make it better than that. We need to take the days off on Eid. Even if, this time it's on Sunday, but no matter what day it's on, it should be a day off for us. We are off. I don't want money for that day. I don't want to work on that day. It's my day off. It is Eid for me. If Allah has made it Eid for me, how am I not going to take it as a day where I need to celebrate with my people, with my family, and be with them on this important day of us? So Eid should be something that we need to sacrifice for, to enhance it, especially in the West, so that our kids do not grow up with an inferiority complex of other people having all these things for their celebrations and we have nothing. So we have to do that here, so that our people can have the confidence growing up here that this is our Eid and we love this and we are attached to it because Allah is giving us blessings and mercy and showing us His grace. May all of you have a great Eid, and inshallah Allah accepts all your actions and rewards you in the best way possible. Thank you again, and may Allah bless you all.
Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
يا من أتيت فزدت حبنا أسعدتنا وجمعت شملنا أنت هدية من الله لنا بعد انتظارنا لك طول السنة فيك السرور والهنا حمدا لك يا ربنا Let's enjoy this happy day. Eid Mubarak, come on, let's celebrate. Eid Sa'id, let's enjoy this happy day. Eid Mubarak, come on, let's celebrate. Eid Sa'id, let's enjoy this happy day. Eid Mubarak, come on, let's celebrate. Celebrate, let's celebrate. Allah, Allah, thank you for this day.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. This is the Heart of Life Pounding. IRIB English Radio.
In the limelight.
The Zionist regime forces are facing fresh condemnation from international human rights experts for their force against Palestinian protesters in occupied East Al-Quds that left hundreds injured and airstrikes into Gaza that killed dozens of people, including 9 children. In this regard, we have prepared an article for you written by Andrea Germanis Ryder. This article is published under the heading Human Rights Experts Denounce Israeli Regime Violence and Confiscation of Homes in East Al-Quds as Violation of International Law. Stay tuned, please, for the details. Israeli regime forces are facing fresh condemnation from international human rights experts for their force against Palestinian protesters in occupied East Al-Quds that left hundreds injured and airstrikes into Gaza that killed dozens of people, including children. Also under scrutiny are Israeli regime's attempt evictions in Sheikh Jarrah, which would amount to war crimes, Amnesty International said recently. In his statement, the United Nations High Commissioner for Human Rights reiterated his plea for an end to the violence. The body appealed to the Israeli regime to respect international humanitarian law. Referring to the Israeli regime's strikes into densely populated Gaza, an area deemed by occupation critics an open-air prison, spokesperson for the High Commissioner Robert Colville said any attack including airstrikes, should be directed solely at military objectives, and all feasible precautions must be taken to avoid civilian death and injury and damage to civilian objectives. Israel must also refrain from punitive measures such as additional closures and restrictions that punish the entire civilian population of Gaza, he said. The Palestinian Red Crescent Society, which says it's been targeted as its attempts to provide aid to wounded worshippers and protesters, said that over 900 Palestinians were injured between May 7th and May 10th in East Al-Quds. The repression drew condemnation from United Nations human rights experts Michael Link and Balakrishnan Rajagopal. The recent scenes of Israeli police and security forces attacking large crowds of Palestinian residents and worshippers is only intensifying a deeply inflammatory atmosphere in the city. A militarized response to civilian protests against discriminatory practices only deepens social divisions. Respecting rights is the only path forward, Link, special rapporteur on the situation of human rights in the Palestinian territory occupied since 1967, and Rajagopal, special rapporteur on adequate housing, said in a statement recently. Their statement also references the threatened evictions of Palestinian families from their homes in Sheikh Jarrah, which have elicited ongoing protests. An occupying power is prohibited from confiscating private property belonging to the protected population, and it must respect the body of existing laws which had governed the territory, unless it is absolutely necessary to alter them, said Link and Rajagopal. The forced transfer of the population under occupation is a grave breach of the Fourth Geneva Convention, which contributes to the coercive environment now prevailing in East Al-Quds as well. They continued, these evictions breach the right to adequate housing, a core human right in international law. Saleh Hijazi, deputy director for the West Asia-North Africa region at Amnesty International, similarly condemned the Israeli regime's recent actions. The latest violence brings into sharp focus Israel's sustained campaign to expand illegal Israeli settlements and set up forced evictions of Palestinian residents, such as those in Sheikh Jarrah, to make way for Israeli settlers. These forced evictions are part of a continuing pattern in Sheikh Jarrah. They flagrantly violate international law and would amount to war crimes, said Hijazi. Nabil Accord, one of the residents of Sheikh Jarrah who is facing possible eviction, told Amnesty International that the Israeli regime's actions must prompt urgent action from the international community. Sheikh Jarrah is sending a message to the whole world, including the US Congress, the UK Parliament, the French Parliament, the EU Parliament, the International Criminal Court, that what is happening to us is a war crime, said Accord. It is not just an eviction, but a war crime. Remember that. I do not know why the entire world is watching what is happening and letting Israel get away with it, said Accord. It is time they stopped spoiling Israel. In the U.S., some members of Congress are calling for a shift in ongoing policies and practices in which the U.S. continues to supply the Zionist regime unconditional military aid and defense the Israeli regime's lethal military actions as self-defense, while rejecting direct criticism of Israeli regime forces' deadly attacks on Palestinians and the ongoing illegal occupation. Those voices include Representatives Rashida Tlaib, Ilhan Omar, and Andre Carson. In a joint statement condemning the attacks on worshippers at Al-Aqsa, the lawmakers said the threatened evictions are a direct violation of international law, the Geneva Convention, and basic human rights. They said, "We condemn all violence in this conflict. These acts only serve to advance the political goals of the powerful at the expense of the suffering of people." The lawmakers also denounced the lack of accountability for Israeli regime's wanton human rights abuses and continuing illegal seizures of Palestinian land in the face of mere lip service to a Palestinian state. "It is long past time we finally take action to protect Palestinian human rights and save lives," the trio said. You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran's broadcasting. The Voice of Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1920 to 2020 UTC on the following frequencies: 31 meters, 9,855 kilohertz for Europe, and 31 meters, 9,835 kilohertz for Southern Africa, and FM 91.5 megahertz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and IranSat or BAT 5, and via internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, P.O. Box 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints.
همه با وجود قده سرطانی اسرائیل مخالفیم.
All of us are opposed to the cancerous tumor Israel.
وجه مشترک همه وحدت امت اسلامی.
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common.
Eid al-Fitr prayers show us appreciation for divine blessings during Ramadan. In a sense, Eid al-Fitr prayers are our appreciation of divine blessings in the month of Ramadan. It is an appreciation of this new birth. During Eid al-Fitr prayers, we repeatedly say to God, "Make us benefit from all the goods which Muhammad and his household benefited from." We say to God, "Let us enter the pure paradise of faith, morality, and action which you allowed these chosen ones enter." Then we say, "And get us out of all the evils which you helped Muhammad and his household, your greetings be upon him and them all, get out of." During Eid al-Fitr prayers, we ask God to help us get out of the hell of immoral actions, conduct, and beliefs from which He protected these great and dear Imams. We illustrate this great goal for ourselves on the day of Eid al-Fitr, and we ask God to help us reach this goal. Of course, we ourselves have a responsibility to make efforts to stay on the straight path. This is what piety is.
Your light and love, all I see, nothing more I'd ever want or need. My Lord, protect me from dishonor. Grant me faith to be stronger.
Eid al-Fitr is an Eid of divine mercy. Spending the month of Ramadan in worship, fasting, tawassul, dhikr and humility until the last day is a true Eid for a faithful person. This Eid is not similar to materialistic and worldly celebrations. Eid al-Fitr is an Eid of divine mercy. It is an Eid of divine forgiveness. It is an occasion for thanking God, an occasion for the people to thank God for having been able to worship God for a month and to successfully celebrate the great divine Eid at the end of it for having been able to benefit as much as possible from dhikr, dua, tawassul, humility, fasting and praying in the month of Ramadan. This is an Eid for pious Muslims who have successfully spent a month in worship and abstinence, hoping that Allah the Exalted would bestow mercy and divine rewards on them. What are the things offered at Ramadan feasts? It is said that the month of Ramadan is the month of a divine feast, and I would like to tell you, dear brothers and sisters, what could be expected to be offered in this feast? One of the things that are offered, and people like you and I should benefit from it, is fasting. Another thing is the Holy Quran. The Holy Quran has been placed on this blessed table, and we have been given more opportunities to recite it in the month of Ramadan than in any other month. Another thing is prayers such as Dua Iftitah and Dua Abu Hamza. All of these things are the blessing that are offered at this divine feast. There are some people who are so much distracted by other things that they do not even notice these blessings.
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, all praises to Allah, all praises to Allah. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, all praises to Allah, all praises to Allah.
If you're interested to know about history, culture, family, politics, religion, art, etc., you wouldn't want to miss the chance to tune into the IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.